just like a tree that's planted by the water.
We want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. It is our desire that each person come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Let us open up with prayer.
Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am, who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right.
Well, thank God I'm going to be speaking about the straight gate, walking down a narrow path. If you would, turn to Matthew 22, verse 36. Let's get started there. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. 1 Corinthians 8, 3. Remember this one. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. You want God to know you? Keep his words. Love him. And that's how you love him, is keep his words. And he'll know you. Turn to Luke 13, verse 24. We're going to get into this. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able to. And when I read these words years back, it scared the hell out of me. And it took me years to understand. When once the master of the house has risen up and have shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he will answer and say unto you, I know you not, whence ye are. If you love God, he'll know you. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not, whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Now, there is no way you can say you believe the words of God and not make an ongoing effort to believe the gospel and keep the words of God. If you're not making an effort to make sure you got all this right, you don't believe the Bible. Now, you know, there's people who don't know anything that they're doing wrong, and as far as they know, everything's good between them and God. Well, that's great. Don't worry about it then. Just keep walking uprightly what you know to do, what you know is right in the sight of God. And when God's ready to correct you, he will. You know, God judges every person according to knowledge. All right? Let's look at that. James 4, 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. See, that's one of the devil's method, is to tell you you're doing something wrong, but it won't tell you what it is. That's when you need to say, get behind me, Satan. If God's dealing with you, he'll tell you what you're doing wrong. And usually he'll bring up a scripture in your heart. Okay, now let's read Luke 13, 24 again and compare them with several other scriptures where the Lord speaks about the straight gate and where the Lord says, depart from me, I know you not, and see if we can get some understanding. Okay, Luke 13, 24. Strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, is risen up and have shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not from whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from whence ye are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out. Okay, now remember 1 Corinthians 8:3, International Standard Version. But anyone who loves God is known by him. All right. Now, let's look at Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye should men do to you, do ye also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few be that find it. Now, skip down to verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Because talking to Christians, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I shall liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was found upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Okay, now Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. We just read about some foolish believers and wise believers. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps. With their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. Here again, the door shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. See, they knew the Lord. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Okay, so in Luke 13, Matthew 7, and Matthew 25, all three of these teachings, the people the Lord addresses know who the Lord is. They are believers. They are Christians. Let's look at that. Luke 13, these people say, We've eaten and drank with you. You taught in our streets. They called him Lord and said, Open the door. Matthew 7, these people called Jesus Lord and said, We prophesied in thy name. We cast out devils. We did many wonderful works. Matthew 25, the 5 virgins said to the Lord, Open to us. So clearly, these people are Christians. They've received the Lord. They started their salvation. Now, let's look at another comparison. In 2 of these places, it talks about the door being shut. Luke 13, the master of the house, that's Jesus, riseth up and shuts the door. Matthew 25, the 5 wise virgins went to the marriage and the door was shut. Went into the marriage and the door was shut. Matthew 7, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So clearly the door was shut, and there were Christians who will not enter into the kingdom of God. They will not go to heaven. All right? Now, these things are written so you can work out your salvation now and be ready when the Lord comes. You don't have to let this happen to you. But don't be foolish and just ignore these things. And also, don't be afraid, because I'm going to show you how to get established in the faith and get your love for God perfected and be ready when the Lord comes. Turn to Philippians 2:12. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. So, and verse 13 too. So then, my dear ones, just as ye have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work your salvation. That is to cultivate it, bring it to full effect, actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill His purpose, His good pleasure. Okay, so, you know, God calls us His beloved, His dear ones, His friends, in this scripture and other translations, and tells us to continue to work out our deliverance, to continue to get delivered from every sin. You know, religious tradition has taught us that salvation is a one-time experience, and therefore they twist many scriptures to fit them with their religious concept of salvation. And they don't know what to do with many scriptures. Okay? And that's why we need to teach what the Word of God says about salvation, that we're saved and we're being saved. Okay, let's continue to compare these scriptures. Luke 13, the Lord says, I know you not from whence you are. It's going to talk about how the Lord didn't know him. Matthew 7, the Lord says, I never knew you. Matthew 25, the Lord says, I know you not. Now, we've already gone over these people receive the Lord. They've called upon the name of the Lord. These people knew the Lord Jesus Christ. But the scripture says, those that love God are known of God. See, let's look at that again. 1 Corinthians 8:3, International Standard Version. But anyone who loves God is known by him. All right? So it's clear to me in all three of these places in the scripture, it's saying these people didn't love God. Okay? They didn't love God. Matthew 7, it calls those who keep the sayings of Jesus wise, and those who don't keep the words of Jesus foolish. And the wise will be able to stand when the storm comes, and the foolish will fall, and great will be the fall of it. Matthew 25, it calls the virgins who kept the lamps full of oil wise, and they were ready when the Lord came. You know, having your lamp full of oil is having your heart full of the Spirit. And all three of these accounts are at the end when the Lord comes back. Okay? Yeah, let's go ahead and do a, let's go ahead and take a break here and play a song. Let's do Where Could I Go But to the Lord by Pamela Pontia. Do y'all remember Elvis Presley singing this song? I always liked Elvis' voice. Anyway, let's hear Pamela Pontia, Where Could I Go But to the Lord.
So now won't you tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking the refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Won't you tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Bye. with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face that chilling hand of death, now won't you tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking the refuge for my soul. Tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the
Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord has started their salvation. But that salvation is not complete, and it requires all of us to continue to believe to be delivered from all our sins. See, this is what the New Testament teaches. It teaches you to continue in the faith. Okay, look at 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So, did you know in Matthew 7, it talks about, earlier in the chapter, where it talked about the good tree bears good fruit, and that good fruit is the righteous nature of God. It's what makes you the new creature in Christ. And that new creature in Christ can stay filled with the Spirit of God and can walk down the straight and the narrow path. But it takes time to be, you know, transformed to become the temple of God. See, the fear of God will make you want to know these things. All right? It's uncomfortable to teach some of these things. It'll make you feel uncomfortable. But you need to go into perfection. Okay, Matthew 25. These wise virgins obviously became new creatures of Christ who could keep their lamps full of oil. Now, on your day-to-day walk with the Lord, I want to say this to comfort you. As long as you're walking in Christ, that's keeping his words, believing on him, you're not going to come into condemnation. And Romans 8, 1 and 2 teaches this. It says the law of the Spirit of life, Christ Jesus, will continue to set you free from sin. So there's no way you're going to go to hell walking in Christ. And if you're not brought to the place where you can be caught up with the Lord in the rapture, because, you know, the Lord is coming back after a church that's without spot or wrinkle. And so I believe that as long as you walk in Christ, walk after the Spirit, it clearly says you will not be condemned. And I just believe that if you're not ready when the Lord comes, he's going to take you with him. In other words, you'll die and just go to be with him. Now, I personally want to go into perfection and be caught up with the Lord in the rapture. All right? And I'm just telling you what I can see in the Word. Now, I have considered the parable of the nets, where there's a bunch of us full of the Spirit and the power of God, and we will be like a net. We're going to catch a bunch of people. And I thought, well, Lord, does that mean we'll be able to carry them up into heaven in the rapture? I'm not sure of that. Let's just read that. Matthew 13:47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it is full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels and cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Okay. So I'm considering those things. God's got more ways than I know about. Anyway, I'll just have to let God give me more understanding. Look at 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slack, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, repentance is a law, an ongoing work, okay? And, you know, it says, a godly sorrow bringeth repentance unto salvation. So it's part of working out your salvation. And, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, you know, some of these things in the Word of God will make us feel uncomfortable. We don't like to talk about it. The good part about it is it will develop some fear of God in you. And fear of God is necessary with many people to get them to go into perfection. All right? Look at John 6, because this is how you go into perfection. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom you have sent. Continue to believe, you continue to get set free. Now, if you have rebellion in you, you will despise hearing some of these things. And you oppose yourself. And you can't help it. You can't help opposing yourself because of the rebellion in you. So, you know, let God set you free and fill you with his love and control you with his love. Don't let sin rule in your mortal body. Don't be controlled by rebellion. And don't let your own heart deceive you and lead you to resist the things of God. And don't blame me for telling you the truth. You know, when people get mad at me, I be honest with you, I really don't pay any attention to it. You know, I have compassion on people because I know it's sin in their heart deceiving them. And, you know, I've watched this for years. First, I learned this by God showing me my own heart trying to deceive me. And it was hard not to follow my heart. But I thought, I'm not letting this sin in me deceive me and make me an enemy of God. I thought, how miserable. And it was hard not to follow my own heart. You know, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, hear the wisdom of God. Your heart is not a reliable source until you get it purified, till you get all that sin purified out of you and get the wisdom of God in you. You know, people make this mistake and follow their own heart and do what they think is right. My heart, your heart, is not the standard we use to determine what is right or what is wrong. The Word of God is. And you know, the Word of God is written on a fifth grade level. But you know what's wild about this? You can't even understand unless the Lord give you understanding. Only God could have put a book together written like this. And yes, I know the Bible's 66 books put together. But it's clear to me it's the same author in all these books and that God put it together. Okay, Hebrews 3:13, look at that. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin in you will deceive you. So like I said, when you hear the words of God and they rub you the wrong way, you don't like them. You know, if I sat around and just told you, oh, you just received the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life, go to church on Sunday, you know, don't be like the world that does this and this. And I always kept pointing at the world and how they live in sin. Say, but you're a good person because you go to, oh, you'd love that. But when I talk about you dealing with all your sin, oh, that'll irritate you. That causes some of you to be rebellious. That causes some of you to be afraid. That'll cause some of you to put up a resistance against this. But it'll bring you into safety. The things I'm teaching you, you know, when it says work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that's for your good. That will bring you into safety. The more you're delivered from your sin, the more you're brought into safety, the more you're secure. Okay, so it's not a bad thing. It's uncomfortable. Okay, but it's good for you. Now, Let me go into this more, and I'm going to show you how to make your calling and election sure. Turn to 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, look at this. We obtain the faith of God through the righteousness of God. And we'll see in the context of these scriptures, it's talking about the righteousness of God is His divine nature. And faith is a very characteristic and attribute of God's nature. And we can have, of God's divine nature, and we can have that nature in us. You want to have faith as a very part of your nature? Well, stay with me. Grace and peace, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue. You know, it says the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is the power of God unto salvation, give you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, the power of God gives us all these exceeding great and precious promises. These are everything that Jesus accomplished on the cross and provided for us through the cross. It is the gospel and its benefits that causes us to become a partaker of the divine nature. And as we continue to develop these characteristics and trait by putting on the new man, look what happens to us. Verse 5, beside this, giving all this, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he is purged from his old sin. What blinds him? Sin in him, and the fact that he hadn't been loosed from the powers of darkness yet. So you can't get... You can't overcome the powers of darkness and be loose from them until you overcome your sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. So, do you want eternal security? Continue in the faith. Become a partaker of the divine nature. This is the new creature in Christ that has escaped the corruption of the world through lust, and old things have passed away. And then you become the temple of God, a habitation of God through the Spirit. Then you can walk down the straight and narrow path and be filled with the Spirit. And be ready when the Lord comes back. See, I'm telling you, take these things I'm teaching you. God's given me, He's taught me this over many, many years. And God's, you know, He told me back in the early 80s that I was going to minister by the seven spirits of God. And one of those spirits is the spirit of understanding. And it's God that has worked the spirit of understanding in me and put all these teachings together. You know what 1 John 5:4 says? It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See? Well, it all makes sense. When you become a partaker of the divine nature, that's the new man being formed. You escape the corruption of the world through lust. That's a new creature in Christ that can stay filled with the Spirit. And when you can stay filled with the Spirit, you can move in the Spirit and overcome the principalities, the powers. That's overcoming the world, the God of this world. And you do it with your faith. Faith becomes your very nature. See, it all fits together. Now, you can get offended about the Lord talking about the people who wouldn't love Him and follow Him. And you don't want to hear about the straight and narrow path and about people that got cut off. And believe me, I know about the struggle and the deception of sin in me wanting to rebel, and the fear and the emotional pain of the devil attacking me, you know, as you're trying to, you know, as you're trying to walk in this, because you're going to have the devil come after you when you go after this stuff. Why? Because he wants to get you to rebel. He's going to attack you, and he's going to make you mad at me. He's going to make you mad at God. He's going to try to get you to turn away from this stuff. Affliction and persecution come up because of the word's sake. That's one of his tactics. But all I can tell you is go after this and make your call and election sure. You know, I told the Lord, I've been talking to the Lord. I said, you need to strengthen me because these powers and principalities are too strong for me, and they're keeping me from entering into the walk of the power of God. But you know what? God knows what he's doing. So, you know, I'm just going to trust him and, you know, keep walking in this. But these things, they take time. It takes time to be loosed from all your sins. It takes time for the old man to pass away. It takes time to sow the word of God in your heart and become a partaker of the divine nature. And you'll have to continue in the faith. You'll have to labor to believe. But this does work. And I've experienced it working. You know, I've got a lot of growing up to do. I've still got a lot of overcoming to do. You know, I don't claim to be a mature Christian. I'm not walking where Jesus walked. I'm doing some of the things. I'm walking in the Spirit a little here and there. I really, you know, I don't talk about it much because I could let it discourage me how long it's taken. But I know one thing, and I'm not going to go into it in this podcast, but God's brought me a long way out of bondage. I was in terrible, terrible bondage. I mean horrible bondage. And I went into bondage at an early age during my forming days when I was a preteen. And so it took a long time for God to bring me out. So some people don't have to go be delivered from what I had to be delivered. You know, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he had a heart after the things of God when he was 12 years old. I was going into deep bondage at that time. So, you know, Jesus went into the wilderness and after 40 days, he's walking the power of God. I've been walking through this for 40 years trying to get out of bondage. So, you know, but, you know, it's easy to go into bondage and it's a lot harder to get out of bondage. So the more deeper people go into bondage, the longer it is to take them to get out. Anyway, I want to encourage every person out there. The Lord's coming back for church without spot and wrinkle. And I can clearly see during the tribulation that the body of Christ is going to be raised up in power. And I can see in the Word of God that we can have full assurance of faith. We can get our heart purified and have full assurance of faith. We can have boldness in the day of judgment. We don't have to be afraid when the Lord comes back. We can get all this worked out ahead of time. And you don't, and like I said, in the meantime, while you're working out your salvation, if you walk in Christ, if you're so bound that you can't overcome and go into perfection, you just stay with the Lord and he'll get you to be, he'll take you to heaven. There, you know, I wish someone would have told me this when I was younger. I was so scared. But God is merciful and gracious. And he said, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the only reason I say not everybody can overcome because the Word of God teaches that. Some just will not be able to enter in. They're just too bound. But at least you can go to heaven. And those of you that you're discouraged thinking, well, I want to go into perfection. Well, give it all you got. You might be surprised that you're one of those that can go into perfection. Okay? Because I didn't think I could. But I believe I will be able to. I cannot believe in any way that God will give me this revelation and then not take me on to perfection. And I believe that he's going to take me on to perfection because I can't bring anybody, I can't take other people on to any further than I've gone. I cannot minister to people above my faith. Okay, so I have got to break through before I can take people into perfection. All right, I think that's all I've got for today's podcast. As usual, I've got resistance, and that it really doesn't bother me that bad. There's sometimes I have emotional pain because of the powers of darkness attacking me, but I'm pretty established in the faith. I'm not moved by these afflictions. And so thank God for that. If there's any person out there that's never been saved or born again, you've not started your walk with the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's clear in the Word of God, if you take the whole Word of God, salvation is a process. I was talking to this one minister out of Duncanville many years ago, and he said, we're saved and being saved. And I came later to see that is exactly true. The Word of God teaches that. So, if you want to start your walk with the Lord, you want to have eternal life, say this prayer. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I just receive you. I thank you that you died for me. You were buried and you were raised from the dead. Repeat after me. I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you as my Lord and Savior right now. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord and my Savior. Amen. If you've said that prayer, you don't have to say what's called the sinner's prayer. There is no such thing as a sinner prayer. You don't have to confess all your sins. You can't even remember them all. Just receive Jesus. He'll deal with your sins. He'll lead you to confess all your sins later. So that's all I've got for this podcast. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Just like a tree that's planted by the water.